Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NewAlta conference call and webcast. I would like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Tara Zimmerman, Investor Relations Associate. Ms. Zimmerman, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alyssa, and welcome to NewAlta's third quarter conference call. On the call today, we have Al Kadot, President and CEO, Mike Boris, Senior Vice President and CFO, and Anne McMicken, Executive Director, Investor Relations. During the call today, NewAlta may make forward-looking statements relating to expected future performance. Such statements are based on current views and assumptions that are subject to uncertainties which are difficult to predict, including expected operating results, industry conditions, availability of financing alternatives, debt service, and future capital needs. Certain financial measures that do not have any standardized meaning prescribed by Canadian GAAP will be referred to during this presentation. These financial measures are identified and defined in NewAlta's continuous disclosure documents. Please refer to our continuous disclosure documents, as these documents identify factors which may cause actual results to differ materially from any forward-looking statements. Anne will now provide introductory remarks.
Thank you, Tara. Good morning, everyone. In the third quarter, revenue was up $23 million, or 19%. Combined divisional net margin was up $6.1 million, or 21%. And adjusted EBITDA was $3.1 million, or 12% higher than the same period last year. Increased drilling activity in Western Canada resulted in strong performance in our Western facilities and Western on-site business units. These gains were tempered by reduced performance at our VSC facility. Performance of our other business units was overall flat compared to last year. In early August, our outlook was quite positive. Crude oil and lead prices then slumped sharply. We experienced weaker than expected event-based landfill volumes at SCL, and eastern on-site projects were below expectations. In Western Canada, a higher than normal amount of wet weather hampered drilling activity for most of the quarter. Drilling rigs went from 260 at the beginning of the quarter and rose to 350 in early August, but fell back to 280 in September, averaging 323 for the quarter, which was below industry expectations. At VSC, a sharp swing in lead prices caused a temporary imbalance in the price of our lead products compared to the feedstock costs, and as such, we decided to extend our shutdown to advance facility improvements. Our oil-filled waste volumes were also negatively impacted by third-party pipeline restrictions. Even with these setbacks, adjusted EBITDA for the quarter was almost $30 million, which indicates the potential of the business to drive strong returns. Our profitability continues to improve. Year-to-date, revenue is up $67.2 million and adjusted EBITDA is up $28.5 million, or 50% over last year. Incremental revenue generated 42% improvement to the bottom line. Adjusted EBITDA as a percent of revenue year-to-date was 21%, up from 16% in 2009. Trailing 12-month adjusted EBITDA was $110.7 million, or $2.28 per share. For today's call, Mike will highlight our financial results for the third quarter as well as the year-to-date trends. And Al will close with a discussion on our strategy and outlook for 2011. Mike?
Thank you, Anne. We continue to deliver year-over-year performance improvements each quarter as our markets gradually improve and the value of our products strengthens. We are pleased with the trends in our results year to date, which overall have unfolded in line with our expectations at the beginning of the year. Q3 2010 results increased over last year, with revenue up 19% to $145 million and adjusted EBITDA up 12% to $29.7 million. Year to date, revenue improved by $67 million, or 19%, to $413 million compared to last year, while adjusted EBITDA was up by just over $28 million, or 50%, to $85.1 million as compared to the prior year. More than 90% of the year-to-date improvement in adjusted EBITDA is due to higher activity levels and improved productivity, with the balance driven by higher commodity prices. Net earnings in the quarter were $6.3 million, or $2.7 million higher than Q3 2009. On a year-to-date basis, net earnings improved by $16 million compared to last year. Combined divisional revenue and net margin year-to-date increased by $67 million and $32 million, respectively, compared to 2009. The strong incremental margin improvement of 47% was driven by revenue growth across both divisions, as well as ongoing focus on productivity and cost efficiencies throughout our organization. SG&A before non-cash stock-based compensation was in line with our expectations at $15.8 million in the quarter and $45.4 million year-to-date. Compared to the prior year, funded debt decreased by $50 million to $218 million, while adjusted EBITDA on a trailing 12-month basis increased to $110.7 million at the end of Q3 2010. As a result, our funded debt to EBITDA ratio improved to below 2.0, providing greater financial flexibility. Results in Q3 for the facilities and on-site divisions were impacted by fluctuations in both commodity prices and market demand. Revenue and net margin in the facilities division increased over the prior year by close to $16 million and $4 million, respectively. Strong drilling activity in Western Canada drove most of the improvements in the quarter. However, the division's performance was tempered by reduced performance at VSC. The difference in the cost to acquire waste batteries and the trading price of lead is impacted by the timing of acquiring feedstock and selling recycled lead. Therefore, sharp, short-term swings in the LME price can distort the relationship of feedstock cost and trading price, and as a result, profitability is impacted, as seen in Q3. Due to this imbalance, we decided to extend our shutdown to advance facility improvements, which we anticipate will result in improved future performance. Year-to-date, revenue and net margin are up $46.8 million and $23.1 million, respectively, due primarily to increased activity levels. The incremental revenue generated a 50% gain in bottom-line performance. On-site division's revenue and net margin for the quarter increased by $7 million and $3 million, respectively, compared to the prior period. The improved performance was a result of higher drill site utilization, driven by stronger drilling activity. On-site profitability continues to rise every quarter. Year-to-date, revenue and net margin increased by $20 million and $8.6 million, respectively, compared to last year. Incremental revenue drove 43% profitability to the bottom line. These gains were primarily due to increased demand for our drill site services, on-site project activity, and higher crude oil prices. Increased activity accounted for 86% of the improved performance, with the balance attributable to higher crude oil prices. We continue to execute our on-site strategy of transitioning short-term projects to longer-term contracts to provide stable cash flow and very limited commodity price risk. Total capital expenditures year-to-date were $46 million. Growth capital expenditures of $25.9 million related primarily to centrifugation equipment for drill site and western on-site, and for project work in our heavy oil business unit. Maintenance capital expenditures related primarily to the construction of landfill cells and routine process equipment refurbishment at our facilities. We prudently manage our capital budget throughout the year, and we expect that substantially all of the $87 million in capital committed will be spent in 2010, with the remainder in Q1 2011. Capital spent in Q4 will be evenly split between on-site and facilities. We are in the process of finalizing our 2011 capital spending program and plan to press release our capital budget in December. As for our fourth quarter outlook, we expect improved results compared to the prior year. Crude oil and lead prices are up sharply from Q3, and our key markets continue to strengthen. Oil and gas drilling activity is expected to continue to strengthen, with the current average rig count forecast in excess of 400 rigs for Q4 2010, up nearly 25% over Q3 2010 levels and 25% over Q4 2009. We also anticipate volumes at VSC will be approximately 17,000 metric tons and Stony Creek landfill volumes at or above 130,000 metric tons. In on-site, we expect continued gains from strong demand for drill site equipment in the U.S. So far in Q4, we are seeing drilling rig activity improving at expected levels. We have already received a portion of the waste volumes lost due to the pipeline restrictions in Q3, and the relationship of lead prices and feedstock costs has improved from Q3. Overall, our performance year-to-date is in line with our expectations at the start of the year. Full-year performance is trending to our beginning-of-year outlook. Profitability continues to improve with strong incremental margin flow-through on incremental revenue. At Stony Creek Landfill, we are on track with our volume guidance on an annualized basis. With the Q4 volume guidance for VSC, we will end the year close to our expected annual volumes. We prudently managed our investments throughout the year, consistent with our performance, and we are on track with our capital budget for the year. We have self-funded our growth capital and dividends from cash generated by the business without increasing our debt. We continue to strengthen our financial position, and our funded debt to EBITDA ratio is now below 2. As our performance improves, we expect this ratio to continue to improve in the quarters ahead. And in Q3, we increased our dividends by 30%. We continue to be tightly focused on the disciplined management of the business to retain productivity improvements and cost savings implemented in 2009 and to maximize profitability. We expect continued improvements in performance as our market strengthens and as we capitalize on organic growth opportunities. I'll now ask Al to discuss the strategy and outlook for 2011.
Thanks, Mike. The recovery in our markets in 2010 has been positive, but quite uneven across our business segments. Based on our assumptions at the start of the year, the performance of the business was consistent with expectations. Results in 2011 will be driven by two factors: continued strengthening of our markets, and secondly, returns from our growth capital investments. While we have realized a 50% gain in the first 9 months of 2010 compared to last year, return on capital remains well below historical levels. We expect significantly improved returns in 2011 due to both stronger market demand as well as improved product pricing. Drilling activity in Western Canada is forecast to be up next year, which will drive higher drill site equipment utilization and increased waste volumes and recovered oil at our facilities in Western Canada. The markets for our facilities in Eastern Canada are expected to continue to improve next year. Also, with the investments made in 2010 to improve productivity at VSC, we anticipate higher performance in 2011. In 2010, lead prices have bounced between $1,500 U.S. a ton and $2,600 U.S. a ton. In 2011, we expect improved price stability, which will also contribute to stronger performance. As we have demonstrated in 2010, our facilities can generate strong incremental margins on increased revenues as the capacity utilization improves. We also expect to continue to grow our on-site services in 2011 as we earn the confidence of our customers and demonstrate the cost effectiveness and environmental benefits to our key customers. Based on the impact of these factors, we look forward to substantially stronger bottom line results from our existing business in 2011, with return on capital trending toward our historic levels. The second factor driving improved performance next year will be the returns on our 2010 growth capital investments, as well as from investments that we will make in early 2011. The majority of our 2010 investments were in the purchase of mobilized equipment that will deliver returns quickly. As a result of the combined contributions from stronger markets and from organic growth investments, we are optimistic that 2011 results will be well ahead of 2010. We are, however, remaining tightly focused on the disciplined management of our business to sustain the cost savings and productivity gains that we achieved in 2009 and to maximize the profitability of incremental gains in revenue. We remain the leader of our industry in Canada, and we are recognized throughout North America as well as internationally for the innovative approaches that we take to recover and reuse products from industrial wastes. Our extensive network of permitted facilities across the country provides the resources to extend our operations onto our customer sites to recover products at the source. Over the past 17 years, we have steadily grown and diversified our business. We have earned the confidence of our neighbors, regulators, and customers for high-quality services and safe and environmentally sound practices. We have an outstanding market position with the size, market coverage, technical competency, and excellent customer relationships to support growth for many years ahead. Thank you. We'll now take your questions.
Thank you. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift up the handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have any questions, and there will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Rupert Mayer from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
You've given us some details on the lead-acid battery feedstock issue. Should we expect this supply imbalance to occur from time to time in the future as well?
Rupert, it's Mike. We haven't seen this kind of or this degree of imbalance in the past. What we saw were sharp dips in lead prices in the quarter, actually leading up into the quarter. With a greater lag on feedstock prices, we're negatively impacted by that imbalance. And again, that's what we spoke to in the MD&A and the webcast. When you think about the kind of impact we saw, we realized something like an $800 drop per metric ton in the price of lead, and we have not seen that kind of dramatic dip in the past. So typically you see minor dips, and we always absorb that and manage production accordingly and manage our processes accordingly. This one was just, if you take a look at an LME chart over the last 3 to 4 months, it was pretty dramatic over a six-week period, and that's what really impacted the balance between feedstock and the price of lead. With prices showing more stability right now with respect and having an upward bias, I think we're over $2,500 right now per metric ton U.S., we're certainly seeing that imbalance that we saw in Q3 beginning to correct itself in Q4. So we're feeling pretty good about the direction of where it's going.
Okay, I see. Thanks. And I imagine having 55% of revenue from tolling gives you some protection from that trend. Is there anything else you can do to shore up battery supply for your commodity exposure?
Yeah, we've always got the direct tolling mix to play with in terms of managing some of that exposure. As we did in Q3, we've got production that we can also adapt in terms of where the price relationship is or where the spread is between feedstock and lead prices. We've also talked in the past about hedging. That's something that we'll continue to look at. The complicating factor with respect to hedging itself is that you've got to capture both sides of the equation. You can always hedge the lead price, but you want to make sure that you can cover off the feedstock component of it. So that is an area that we'll continue to look at as part of an overall strategy to basically manage any volatility that we have in our earnings. Beyond that, we'll continue to manage our internal processes to always keep an eye and react accordingly and as fast as we can to whatever's happening in the market.
Great, thanks. Just one more before I jump back in the queue. On your CapEx plan, how much of the spending do you think could be shifted into Q1 versus what we'd expect to see in Q4?
We've talked about the bulk of the spending happening in the year. We didn't disclose and basically the bulk of it being spent in the current year. We know we'll have some carryover, as we would typically have in any given year. So we'll have some carryover spending into the first quarter. But capital, the $87 million we referred to, should be all committed and spent certainly by the end of Q1. So we don't see any real negative impact in terms of performance for 2011.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Hi, guys. In terms of the 2010 budget, it was pretty much internally focused. Are you starting to look towards acquisitions now, or are you seeing many M&A opportunities?
Yeah, right now we've got a lot of we're still working through the recovery, and we do believe we've got lots of opportunity in terms of seeing through that recovery for the next 12 to 24 months. So there's lots of opportunity that we're looking at in terms of organic, be it on the on-site side or on the facility side. So never say never, and we'll always have to keep our eyes open, but our focus is predominantly right now on seeing ourselves through the recovery, managing our balance sheet, managing our debt position, and really just trying to maximize returns from the assets we've already got invested and from the capital that we've put into our asset base in the current year.
Right. Okay, and then on on-site, the penetration seems to be good, but how much of that is from like current existing customers versus new customers, and how much of the growth on-site is actually commodity related?
Yeah, actually, for on-site, the bulk of it is going to be driven by existing customers. We've had with the plays in the U.S., the Marcellus and Fayetteville, those plays are continuing to do well for us, and we continue to increase our drill set utilization in the U.S. So not, it's not so much commodity-driven as opposed to activity being driven by drilling. So drilling in the U.S. as well as drilling here in the West, in Canada. So that's a big component of what we're seeing with on-site. The commodity impact, obviously, is helping on the heavy oil side in terms of crude oil prices beginning to move up. So I don't know if I've answered your question.
I would think it's Al, that we, the first step in industrial on-site, disregarding for a moment drill site, is to do projects to demonstrate the cost effectiveness and environmentally superior aspects of what we do, and then to convert that into medium or long-term contracts. So we're doing a lot of projects across Canada for a wide range of customers in almost all the industries in Canada, proving the process capabilities. And we're entering the stage now of beginning to convert some of those into medium and long-term contracts. And that will provide the growth, not necessarily more individual short-term projects. Those type of activities may not grow very much from here. We hope to begin to convert those into contracts.
Right. Okay. Well, those are all my questions. Thanks, guys.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Jason Granger from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Just looking at your Western facilities business here, the crude oil volumes recovered for your own accounts up 9% year over year, while the waste processing volumes up 84%. Your MD&A there makes reference to the crude oil recovered as a percent of waste being impacted somewhat by a change in the waste mix. Could you just elaborate on that?
Oh, okay, I can do that, Jason. Waste was up 85% just due to our shift to unconventional drilling. We actually received greater waste processing volumes at our facilities near the shale gas plays. These waste volumes have higher water content and lower oil content since water fracks tend to be more common in these type of plays. So that's the impact that you saw in this quarter's relationship between waste volumes and recovered oil.
Okay, very good. Just switching gears back to your on-site business, the Eastern on-site looks like it was impacted with lower activity in Atlantic Canada. Can you give us a sense of what's happening there and how are things are looking, shaping up for 2011?
Sure, I'll take that one. And this will kind of feed on a little bit of what Al just finished saying on overall on-site work. For Eastern, we are in the early stage of development. And the projects that we are engaged in are short-term or event-based work. So you're going to have lumpy revenues from quarter to quarter. If you take a look at the performance in 2009, it is lumpy, and we saw the same thing in 2010. Again, what's driving some of that is some of the work. We do it on an annual basis for our customers, and the timing shift year to year between quarters. There are times when we'll do major overhauls every couple of years. So, again, that'll drive fluctuations quarter to quarter simply because of the type of business that we're working through. So we did experience some of that lumpiness in Q3 of this year. And, again, I think we made reference to Atlantic Canada. So, to Al's point, we're early into developing the business model, and we are working towards and anticipating transitioning to longer-term contracts. And once we make that bridge, that's where you're going to begin to see more stable revenues and more stable cash flow coming from that business.
Okay, very good. Last question here. Turning back to VSC, with the extended shutdown in Q3, you were mentioning we should see a benefit down the line here in 2011. Could you elaborate there on the benefit, how that plays out?
Yeah, we will have a benefit simply because of some of the productivity improvements we've put through the facility through the year, in addition to the additional work we've put in with the extended shutdown. Beyond that, we do anticipate we should see some shorter downtime that we typically would have that carries into January. So last year, we had a period of shutdown that extended, I don't have the number of weeks in front of me, but extended for some weeks. We don't anticipate we would be down as much given the additional work that we did in the current period. So that's kind of where we see the benefit.
Okay, very good. That's it for me. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you have any questions, please press star one. Our next question is from Jeff Fetterly from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. Can you provide some color in terms of, you commented in the release about doing initial centrifugation work in MFT tailings in the oil sands. Can you talk about what that's about, what the opportunity set is there?
Sure. In Q3, we were engaged in our first project to use our centrifuge post-lithing capabilities on mature fine tailings ponds. This is our first project in this area. So far, we're pleased with the results. We've operated on-site for 3 months now with 20 people and 3 centrifuges. We processed 65,000 metric cubes of mature fine tailings. Out of that, 35,000 tons, about approximately, tons were of solids were produced, and that's, just to give you a sense, is about the size of a 6-story building. So we're very pleased with how it's gone so far. This is just was a pilot project at this phase. By no means was it full capacity, but we're pleased with the first 3 months of operation, and we're looking with the customer now and assessing the future opportunities there.
How big do you think the opportunities are? I know Suncor's talked about a different type of approach versus centrifugation. Where do you think this technology fits into the ERCB Directive 74 initiatives?
It's Al, Jeff. There are, of course, a number of options, centrifugation being one. What we're doing is we had 3 full-size centrifuges. We are trying to optimize the process parameters to provide to our customer optimized operating costs and capital costs that would be incurred using centrifugation versus, say, chemical treatment. And then our job is probably to assist the customer in evaluating at least centrifugation technology, since we're the best operators probably in the world on that kind of material. But ultimately, it will be the customer's decision how he proceeds, whether he'll do it himself with support from us or ask us to continue on some larger scale or more permanent operation. And the solutions to tailing ponds may end up being combinations of those processes that the various companies are looking at. And, of course, the information that we're gathering and providing to our customer, they are sharing with other operators so that they can come up with the best solution possible, the most economic and the best environmental solution, and our role is to help them do that.
Is the growth opportunity there as big as the on-site opportunity on the SAGD component?
It's hard to say. My own personal view is that I think that in the area of tailing ponds that the customer will most likely undertake that himself. It is a huge component, would be a huge component of his operating facility. And I would think they may elect to turn that in-house when they decide upon the technology that they want to use. So I think it's a very different animal than SAGD slop oil processing, if you will.
Okay. Mike, just to clarify on your answer earlier, in terms of the VSC facility, with the additional maintenance undertaken in Q3, does that reduce the maintenance required in 2011 or limit it to one turnover or turnaround?
Probably limit it. It'll impact, we believe, more so in the first quarter. So the beginning of the first quarter in 2011 is where we would expect to see some benefit and reduce downtime. I don't think that'll carry So we won't necessarily see a benefit that carries into further reduction in downtime in the middle of next year. So it'll be probably little impact in terms of the December Q4 shutdown period, because we do shut down, and then you'll see some impact in January. We'll see some impact in January. So that's where the benefit we think will come.
How close do you think that facility can run to nameplate next year?
You know what, you begin to get into some of the avenues we've got in terms of managing where feedstock and that whole piece of the relationship between feedstock and lead prices. You know, we'll keep all avenues open to us. We'll manage to profitability. So it may not actually be to our advantage to run to nameplate. So I think we always have that ability to do it depending on where the price relationship happens to be. But I think we're going to continue to keep our options open and make sure that we keep our eye on the profit equation, the margin equation, as we did with Q3, and we're able to act accordingly when we saw it going in a very different direction than what typically had happened in the past. So we'll manage it.
Okay. Lastly, in the Atlantic Canada weakness side, what gives you comfort that you're going to see either the event or project-based revenue stream return or recover?
Yeah, and I wouldn't characterize it as weakness. It's lumpiness. I made reference to 2009 performance. It wasn't so much that we were continuing to build on long-term contracts in 2009 as we continued to build our revenues. For 2010, Q3 over Q2 is only down about 9%. It is down significantly versus last year in Q3, but there was a particular major project that we took, and again, it was more of a short-term project that we took in Q3. So it's not weakness. It's part of the growing pains of building up the model. We've been very successful in building up that model in the West. We feel very comfortable and very confident that we're making some pretty good inroads in the East, whether it's the Atlantic or Ontario or Quebec. Specifically, I know we've made some very good progress in Ontario. And it's a matter of just getting more traction and building upon, again, to Al's comment earlier, transitioning some of the short-term and event-based work into medium-term and longer-term contracts. So eventually we can get that stable cash flow.
Safe to say you're expecting performance from the Eastern on-site to be better in 2011 than 2010?
Just because of how I described the business, I'd rather not give any specific guidance on-site for the East. I mean, I think we'll continue to make good progress in building the relationships and building the foundation. And I guess we'll see in 2011 as we see our results coming out.
Al, your comment of substantially better bottom line next year versus this year, is that then therefore driven principally out of Western?
Well, it's across the company, but Jeff, as you can appreciate, the downturn impacted our facilities primarily. Our on-site work wasn't really affected in a negative way by the downturn. The downturn really impacted the performance of our facilities in Eastern and Western Canada. And if you, again, consider the results of the facilities division, which we disclosed in year-end last year up and so far in 2010, revenue in the facilities in 2008 was $407 million, and net margin was $113. That fell in 2009. Revenue fell by $80 million, and net margin fell by $45 million. And on a year to a trailing 12-month basis, when we compare 2008 to 2010 or to 2009, it would appear that we've gotten about 50 or 60% of that revenue and net margin has been recovered, but only 50 or 60%. And so of the $45 million net margin loss during the downturn, we have yet to recover $20 or $25 million of that net margin we had in 2008. And that also does not include growth capital investments that we made into the facility network in 2008 and 2009. So there's a substantial backlog of net margin either in the assets that were there in 2008 combined with the investments we've made over the past 2 years So as the activity, drilling activity, and the market in eastern Canada begins to improve, we'll generate very strong margins off of that revenue improvement, as we've done this year. I think net margin on incremental revenue is about 40%. And so we should see that coming to us next year. Drilling is forecast to be reasonably strong. We've seen continued strengthening in eastern Canada, and our facilities are, they have the capacity to do a lot more than they're doing right now.
Perfect. Thank you for the color.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up question from Rupert Mayer from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Getting back to your productivity focus, your margins look pretty good relative to historical levels. Although SG&A seems to be relatively high on an absolute basis and as a percentage of revenue, do you have any thoughts on where SG&A goes from here? Do you have a target level that you're looking at? Should we expect it to continue to increase with revenues?
Yeah, Rupert, it's Mike. We've commented in the past that we would anticipate our SG&A to come in the range of 10%, and I think based on where we are to date and where we anticipate we'll continue to be, the in the range of 10% is the guidance that we'd be giving. We were clear at the beginning of the year that we were not going to be managing SG&A as tightly as we did last year, simply because we didn't want to hamper any of the growth opportunities that we knew that were coming at us in 2010. And when you look at the increase in SG&A year over year, the bulk of that has really been driven by growth, the growth of the business in terms of supporting traveling, supporting the business training, as well as the we had the profit sharing plan that we had suspended last year, and we started that with 2010 based on our outlook for the year. So SG&A is actually where we had expected it to be for the year. And again, I guess the best guidance I can give you is in the range of the 10% mark of revenues.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sarah Elford from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hello.
Just a question, I don't really know even how to ask it, let alone how you might answer it, but I'm just wondering whether you can give us, let me start over. I'm looking at your facilities business in the quarter. I'm seeing that your revenue is up 20%, your net margin's up 19%. Normally, obviously, we would see pretty good operating leverage with the kind of, growth you saw in your Western facilities business. So obviously we know where the lack of that sort of operating leverage is coming from, and that's in VSC. I guess what I'm trying to, I know you don't report net margin by facility or even by those three groupings, but could you give me a sense maybe in some way, shape, or form what your net margin would have been up if you had not have had, if you didn't have the impact that you had at VSC from what happened in the quarter? Is there a way to do that?
I don't think there's a way to do that, but at VSC, the change in the differential between the value of the product and the cost to acquire lead is really a revenue change equals a margin change. So the difference there is 100%. Whereas, as we've seen in the other areas, the improvement in revenue is dragging typically about a 40% net margin improvement.
Yeah.
So I think you'd have to parse the numbers to try and figure out what that is. We haven't disclosed it, but I think it's the total dollar revenue and margin coming off from VSC really distorts the view of how profitable the incremental revenue was in our Western facilities in particular.
Exactly, and that was sort of what I was trying to get at, to see whether there was a way to, delineate exactly what that 30% growth in revenue would have been in Western in terms of bottom line. But I think you've kind of answered that in a roundabout way. I can figure it out to some degree.
Okay.
Just one other question, if I could, and I don't really also know how this works, but just when it comes to VSC and decisions that are made when you run into supply imbalances like what you saw, I'm assuming it is the folks at the plant level that make decisions in terms of what you do and don't do strategically during that time, but I'm just curious of the controls and checks that happen sort of at a corporate level when something like that happens at a facility.
Material changes to the operation are recommended by the manager of the facility to the general manager for Quebec, who would then be also in contact with the vice president. So the decisions are recommended and then acted upon up at the executive level.
Okay, perfect. That's what I was curious of. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Kevin Lowe from First Energy. Please go ahead.
Hey, folks. So I understand the lumpiness in the landfills, but could you give us a sense of what you're seeing in the Eastern Canadian economy and how outside of the lumpiness the landfill side and the facility side might do over the course of the next 12 to 18 months?
We're seeing very positive results in the Eastern Canadian market. It does vary once again, but Ontario in particular is improving very nicely in 2010, and we're very pleased with the results in the facilities and on-site. Quebec is improving more modestly, and Atlantic Canada is probably maybe similar this year to last year, not improving as much. But overall, progress is very good. You can see from the Eastern facilities performance that even in spite of the fact that the landfill volumes were down dramatically, the performance of in terms of revenue, the performance was still very good.
Right. So I guess on underlying, you know, is there any sense or is there any way you can kind of suggest which particular sectors of the economy are doing a little bit better to drive the performance, or is it kind of a broad-based kind of increase?
No, it's right across the board. And as I mentioned it to a previous caller, with the facility network across Canada, we've recovered 50 or 60% of the loss that we incurred in 2009 as a result of the downturn. And that really covers both Western and Eastern, as drilling is up in the West and the market demand is broadly up in the East.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Ms. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Alyssa. And we thank all of you for taking the time to be on this conference call. A taped broadcast of the call is available at New Alta's website. We look forward to providing you with an update of New Alta's performance after the completion of our fourth quarter and year-end for 2010.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.